just a few minutes, she told herself. After so much time healing him, monitoring the slow rise and fall of his chest, she could hardly keep her eyes open anymore. A few minutes of sleep couldn't hurt. In one of his brief moments of semi-lucid consciousness, Zuko had assured her that the palace staff and the fire sages, the few who remained, could be trusted. Katara was less than convinced, but Zuko's condition was more stable than before, and her head kept drooping toward her chest for a few moments at a time before she jerked awake again. She couldn't keep watch over him forever. It should be fine. So long as she stayed close, nothing bad could happen to him. Not in a few minutes. Not if Katara just curled up in the chair beside his bed for a little snooze. She would wake up at the slightest disturbance, ready to protect or heal him at a moment's notice. Or that was the idea. Instead, Katara let her eyes slide shut for what felt like a single blink, and when they opened again, she found herself staring at an empty expanse of rumpled, blood-red silk. Oh no. Oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no! She shot out of her chair, bleary-eyed and only half awake. Where is he? Where did he go? She crashed her way into the corridor, then rammed into a timid-looking servant woman. Where is he? Katara repeated, a frantic edge to her voice. The servant fumbled to keep her stack of clean linens from toppling. Where is who, miss? Zuko! Where is Zuko? The Fire Lord ordered that you not be disturbed, miss. I believe His Majesty mentioned fresh air. A bit of the sleepy fog lifted from the edges of her mind, and Katara's expression darkened. Oh, he'd better not! She took off at a run, careening down one hallway, then the next, and the next. By the time she realized that the light blanket she'd worn for her brief nap was dragging after her, it was too late to turn back, and she hitched it up around her shoulders like a cloak and kept running. For all the palace's beauty, it was entirely too big. There were too many rooms and balconies and gardens, too many places where Zuko might have wandered in his fevered and dazed state. She ran toward the northern wing of the palace, peeking through doors and shouting for directions whenever she crossed paths with a servant. At last, she saw a patch of pallor lying in a shady spot beneath a tree. Zuko. She darted out the door toward him. Zuko lay on his back, one arm bent behind his head like a pillow, bare feet dangling a few inches over the surface of the pond. Katara's heart sat in her throat. He was okay. He was safe, and he was still breathing. He was an idiot.
You were supposed to stay in bed and rest, Katara called as she marched toward him.
Zuko rolled his head her way and blinked, eyes unfocused. Katara? His voice came out thin and cracked. I told them not to wake you up. She crossed her arms.
They didn't. You wandered off.
His eyes slipped shut and his forehead creased as though he were deep in thought.
You were tired,
he eventually rasped. She wanted to be annoyed with him. She wanted to fuss about how worried she'd been to find him missing. She wanted to raise a stink about how his servants ought to intervene when Zuko did stupid, dangerous things like wandering the palace alone while injured and disoriented. But even with his forehead creased like it took all his effort to string words into coherent sentences, even with a feverish sheen on his brow and his hair clinging to his forehead in streaks, he looked easier, more peaceful than he had in days. He was safe. He was going to be okay. Katara sat beside him, letting her feet dangle over the pond beside his.
I was tired, but I'm not the one who jumped in front of lightning.
His eyes opened a slit.
When was that?
She studied him. Though his eyes were open, they drifted a bit, struggling to focus. She wasn't sure how she should feel about it. There were hundreds, thousands of questions she wanted to ask him about the Agni Kai. Why he'd agreed to it in the first place. Why his eyes, His voice had gone so soft when he promised that she wouldn't get hurt. Why he'd taken the bolt of lightning when he knew he couldn't redirect it properly, and why, even after he'd fallen, he kept reaching for her. And yet she remembered all of it. The horrific cry that tore out of him as the lightning burned him from the inside out, the tremors that ran through his limbs even hours after the fight was over, and the weak, stuttering pulse that took far too long to mend. She wasn't sure she wanted him to remember any of that. He'd lived through it once. That ought to be enough. She never wanted to see him in that kind of pain again, even in memories. "Do you remember it?" she whispered. Zuko's brows crept downward in thought.
"I remember jumping. I remember you coming back. And your hands."
He made a feeble attempt at mimicking her healing stance, and again his eyes closed.
"The water felt good. Everything else is fuzzy."
His expression slackened.
"Appa is fuzzy."
A small laugh bubbled out of her, and her shoulders eased a bit. "Weirdo." She pushed his hair away from his eyes. "The comet was a few days ago. You've been sleeping most of the time since then."
"I had weird dreams,"
he mumbled. "I'm not surprised." She hugged her knees to her chest, staring across the pond at the remains of what must have once been a lush, beautiful garden. "Is that why you came out here?" Zuko shook his head slightly. With a slow breath, he opened his eyes again.
"No, I..."
He tried to push himself upright and made it almost to his elbows before a pained groan tore its way out of his mouth. He fell back, clutching his bandaged middle.
"Zuko!"
Katara rose to her knees, bowed halfway over him. His breathing came too harsh and too fast, and the sudden shock of pain had drained all the color from his face. She cupped her hand gently around his cheek.
"Zuko, look at me!"
He only managed to open his eyes for a second before he clenched them shut again and curled inward.
"I know it hurts, Zuko, but you have to let me see it so I can help."
Zuko couldn't seem to respond, but he allowed her to pull his hands away and unwind the bandages. The lightning wound looked the same as it had for days, the same sunken red splotch just under his ribs, the same pinkish rays of burned skin reaching outward. Katara tried not to feel the heavy lump of guilt that settled into her chest. Encasing her hands with water, she pressed them to the wound and pushed past the sunburst pattern etched into his skin. Between the scar and his life, she would choose his life every time. She poured herself into the work, feeling for the still raw edges of the lightning's path and for any fresh damage. His heart, thankfully, was as strong as she could remember it being since the comet, and his lungs, though knotted with painful energy, still shrank and swelled with his breath. She kept working, smoothing the tattered edges and drawing out the knots of energy until Zuko's breathing finally eased. Katara let out a breath she hadn't realized that she'd been holding and sat down, suddenly spent. Zuko was paler than before, his forehead creased and his eyes pressed shut. She rested a palm against his forehead.
"You should still be in bed," she told him.
He drew in a slow, shuddering breath, and his eyes opened slit.
"Too late. I'm stuck here."
She almost wanted to argue with him, to order him back to his bed so he could rest and heal properly, so that she could keep him and the supplies, the fresh bandages, the clean water, the medicines, all within reach. But he had a point. If he couldn't sit without being overcome by pain, he wouldn't be able to walk back to his room. And the thought of trying to carry him was too much for Katara. She was tired too.
"No wandering off without me next time," she ordered. "I don't want you getting stuck anywhere dangerous, understand?"
Zuko gave a small nod. Slowly, Katara exhaled. He was okay. Even if he was a little fuzzy, a little confused right now, he was going to heal, and he would be healthy again.
"Here,"
She picked her blanket up from where it had fallen behind her and spread it over the prickly, dry grass. This should be more comfortable. Slipping her hand beneath his shoulders, she pulled him up just far enough so that she could help him scoot onto the blanket an inch or two at a time. Zuko grimaced and groaned at the motion, but when Katara finally lowered him back to the ground, his face relaxed again. With a contented little sigh, he nestled against her side, and his hand crept out to find hers. She gave in, squeezing his hand in response before lying down on the blanket beside him. Her head rested lightly against his shoulder, and he smiled, soft and small, eyes still shut.
"I came out here because I wanted to see the turtle duckies,"
Zuko said, barely over a whisper. His brow creased.
"Flirtle duckings. Turtle duckings."
"Turtle ducklings?" Katara offered. He nodded.
"Those."
She smiled and snuggled into his shoulder. "I think you might be delirious."
"Am I?"
Reaching upward, she smoothed the hair back from his eyes.
"Maybe just a little."
He let out a small sigh.
"The turtle duckies must be sleeping."
Katara couldn't help herself. Hand still cupped around his face, she stretched upward until her lips brushed against his scarred cheek. She hovered there, pressing all the affection, all the care, all the love she could muster into a small, soft kiss. When she finally pulled away, the faintest hint of a smile playing across his lips was the only sign that he was still awake.
"I'm sure the turtle ducklings will be very happy to see you when they wake up," she whispered to him.
His mouth twitched into another small smile, then he lapsed into silence, his breathing growing slower, steadier, until he finally dropped off to sleep. Beside him, Katara rolled onto her back and stared into the arching branches overhead. Someday soon he'd be well enough to kiss her back.